Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
I'm Dee, and combined, we're the Wonder Twins. For deliciously geeky fun
and mega nerdy hygiene,
follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Weekly episodes can be found on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Google Play. We're the best little podcast in Texas, Joe.
We're the Wonder Twin Powers Activate Show.
Most unique crossovers ever conceived on this network. Myself and, of course, Andrew Farmer.
Hey, guys.
Are joined. This is actually, you know, a lot of times you'll come on the Hey Kids Comics and hear about how I was sitting around at work utilizing my brain in non-work ways and come up with something that Andy finds just incredibly brilliant. But this one is Andy's... it's not your love child. It's your brainchild.
We can call it a love child.
Yeah,
we can call it immaculate conception if you want.
You can call me Susan if it'll make you happy.
Right.
But I'm going to let you take over here because you have found a way for this show to join forces with another show that has kind of a unique connection to one another.
So for those of you that are fans of Hey Kids Comics, you know that I can't read from page, so this is going to be really interesting. I am certainly not Eddie Medina. I can't come up with an intro on the fly. So here you go. I wrote this. It is pun heavy. Once in a generation, the topic rises that is too great for one podcast to handle alone. On those occasions, we join forces to conquer odds insurmountable. Tonight, we bring you Podcast's Finest. Finest, new show, not necessarily just a Jedi Cole show.
This is actually like one of those universe shattering crossovers.
It is just like my new product, Big Dick Pants. This is going in. I'm leaning in on this, guys.
Wow,
I'm gonna start saturating the marketplace with my pants. These two brilliant podcasters, and I'm not blowing smoke here. I mean that for real. Danae Cortez, Aaron Pardo run a podcast called Wonder Twin Powers Activate, and they were kind enough to have me on the show for about a 10-minute, no-breath-having rant about Infinity Wars. But they run a really great show. Not only do they run a really great show, but they took on a Herculean task recently, which is why we've come together tonight. So, Aaron, Danae, are you out there?
I am still here.
I'm still here. For now. My finger's on the button.
Yeah.
Hi, Danae.
He's waiting. He's like, well, I'm going to see if I want to stay on the show or not.
So which one of you wants to
just
tell
like Oliver,
everyone...
Yes.
About what you guys just did for the last 30 weeks straight.
Danae, you got this. Take it away.
Oh, I got that. Okay. So, I am known for being very anti-Marvel, and I'm waiting for the booing to die out before I finish that statement. And Aaron is a Marvel fanboy. We even said we were going to make him a shirt that said, I'm a Marvel boy.
That would
and
pair
so,
very nicely with a big
I would,
with big dick pants. So as a podcast duo that we are, we always have an interesting go when we see movies, and I'm always like, nope, I hated it, it's the worst, whatever. But the past 2 years, Marvel has been sneaking in some decent films. And we saw a little post on Facebook that said, if you watch, starting at the first week in January, every Marvel movie, you once a week, basically, you will have seen all of them leading up to Infinity War. It was 18 movies in 18 weeks, and we decided to do it.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Some of them.
The cinnamon challenge.
I was still eating Tide Pods at the time.
Yeah.
But I set the Tide Pods aside so that I could watch movies that I, in the past, have hated and abhorred to begin our year of positivity and learning to love Marvel. And that was, like, the cheesiest possible way that I could say that. But
and Strange Lovian, by the way. That
yeah,
was...
but I did ask of the early cinematic, like the Phase 1 going into Phase 2, were there any you had already seen? Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2.
I actually had seen all of them because I used to be a host on a Disney podcast with Rick and Roy.
And then you're sort of obliged not only to see that, but everything in the catalog.
So we had already done, my husband and I had done, oh gosh, I think we had made it all the way up. I don't remember, but I had seen all of them at least once, and by seen, I mean I had tried not to sleep through mostly all of them at least once. And so a lot of this was just like rewatching, and like I said, in a positive way, like putting aside the like I hate Marvel BS and just being like, I'm gonna enjoy some superhero movies.
Yeah, well, the reason I'm so curious is because a friend of mine and I had, a little off topic, had seen Blade Runner after having read the Philip K. Dick novel that it was, or novella that it was based on, very loosely based on. And I absolutely thought it was the worst movie I'd ever seen.
Really?
And then fast forward like a couple of years, and I got my first VCR, and somebody was just dying to watch Blade Runner. And
Bread
I thought,
cost
you know,
a nickel.
Yeah. Oh, as if it was 7 cents. But you know, I decided to watch it for what it was, not for what I was expecting. And that's why I was curious about going into this with a new attitude. Did you find it more approachable?
Yes.
Absolutely. Even Aaron, who loves these movies, did.
Yes. I changed my opinion on quite a few things, not all of them, but quite a few things for sure. Like I never, like when I first saw Age of Ultron in the theater, I did not I didn't like it at all. I thought it was poorly done. I didn't like Ultron. I didn't like the voice that they chose for Ultron. I didn't like I didn't like anything about it. But then when I sat down in the comfort of my own home, in my own environment, and I was sitting there, and I rewatched it, and I relaxed a little bit, I was like, you know what? This isn't so bad. And the more times I watched it, the more I was like, you know what? I actually, you know, it's okay. It's not that bad of a movie anymore. I'm going to relax a little bit with it.
Well, on the strength of that, I may have to rewatch it. I have actually never seen it since the theatrical release.
Really? Yeah, give it a shot. I mean, what was your opinion on it?
I actually came out of the theater saying, well, that's one of the first I don't want to own.
Okay.
Right.
I was feeling kind of the same way. But when I was at home. I was on the couch. I was like, I have nothing else going on. So you know what? Let's just rewatch it. I didn't like it, but you know, sometimes, like, you know, how many times have there been songs that you've heard play, and when your first go you listen to them, you were like, you know what? I don't like it. But then after a while, you hear it a few good times, and then you're like, damn it, I actually like this stupid song now.
You know, there was once a man that I did not care for, and then one day that man gave me a call. Oh. We sat and talked about things that were on our mind.
Yeah, just can't with you and your damn deep cuts. Okay, so follow-up question.
Go for it.
So a two-parter, right? So you guys just, you know, how it changed your dynamic to be able to watch them again, go back in and watch them now. But were there any that even on maybe more so on the second viewing, or any on the second viewing that you were you noped out of, that you were like, this is worse than I remember, or it's exactly as bad as I remember it.
Iron Man 3. Yeah.
How dare both of you? You can't start this early on this. You both know.
Wait, shark infested waters. Let me tell you right now.
I will end your precious field trip today. I will.
here's the problem with that. Okay, so Aaron and I, we do have a lot of the same opinions on things. Like typically when we do like movie reviews and stuff, we agree. But a lot of these films we'll set on one side or the other of. You know, Aaron will be like, oh, I really liked it. I'm like, meh, whatever. Because, I mean, my rating for most Marvel movies is kind of like, meh. This is one of the only ones that we 100% agree on.
And that agreement is wrong. And I just want you to know that. okay, so you're agreed that Iron Man 3 was your least favorite. Okay. Fair enough. You're entitled to your opinion, I suppose. Exactly. But did the Netflix effect help you, do you think, with these movies? When, you know, because Cole and I have done reviews on every Marvel movie that has come out during this podcast. I think we started with Avengers and then have done everyone since. You know, but we're doing them as they come out.
Right.
So did doing one a month to build up to Infinity Wars, because I know that you both had a pretty visceral reaction. And by the way, you know, we'll put on the thing that this is going to be spoiler heavy for the people that don't, you know, absolutely. At this point, the movie's made like $1.2 billion. I think everyone has seen it. But, you know, you guys had a really visceral reaction to that movie. Do you think that watching those movies literally month after month after month after month after month, and then talking about them month after month after month after month, had a greater effect on you than waiting?
Yes. Absolutely. Boy. Well, and one of the things that we talked about, so we did it, it was because they changed the release date of Infinity War, and because we started a week late, we actually ended up doing 18 movies in 16 weeks. And so it was like every Sunday. I live in Lubbock, Texas. Aaron lives in Dallas, Texas. And so we watch over Skype together. And so he'll log in and we'll watch the movie so that we can talk about it as it's going on. And I think that's added to the enjoyment, quite honestly. But it fitting 10 years. Okay, fitting 10 years of cinematic history into 16 weeks. And living the storyline from week to week and not waiting years in between the films made a humongous difference.
You remember so much details, comparatively speaking, because I've seen all of these in the theater. Well, maybe not all of them, but let's say 95% of all of these in the theaters. And most likely most of them I saw on the day that they were released on. And I have a really bad memory for things. So for me, this really helped refresh my memory and bring the universe together as one cinematic universe instead of just little snippets of information that I'm trying to hold on to as best as well.
Your level of familiarity must be off the charts at this point because it's such an immersive experience. Because like yourself, I saw all of them for the most part when they were first out, maybe not the actual opening day. And, you know, I am blessed with a memory for completely ridiculous, useless garbage, so it helps me in a situation like this where all of them are simultaneously running in my head to some degree, but it's still, I think there is so much that isn't there anymore, or just, you know, isn't as familiar as it was for both of you.
I mean, I feel like there are some of those movies that I wish weren't there. Like, Cole and I have the same feeling about Age of Ultron as you guys do about Iron Man 3.
It wasn't an easy movie to like when I first saw it, man. I'm not going to cut it. When I first saw it, I was upset. I mean, I really did not like it at all. I talked mad crap on it, man. But the more I watched it, the less I gave a crap whether or not I liked it or not. And I sort of was like, yeah, whatever. It's Avengers. Go with it.
Here is what is going to make me angry about you not liking that movie, Andrew Farmer.
Yeah, come with it. Come on with it.
And it's not even because I necessarily particularly enjoy that film. It's because the year that that movie came out was the year that I started Lebicon, was the year that it became clear to me that I was being forced into being a Marvel fan regardless of what I wanted. And this is what happened. I was forced into a girls' night out to see Age of Ultron, even though the only films I had seen were Iron Man and Captain America at some point previously. And,
well, the thing about Age of Ultron is that's why they cast James Spader.
Jesus.
So it would be a chick flick.
I hated the fact that they casted him as Ultron. Ultron.
The only thing, because I don't want to do that whole, like, I'm like other girls, because that's apparently offensive to feminists. I don't see these films to see Chris Hemsworth with his shirt off. Typically, I'm like, can you please put it back on? It's very distracting. And so when I have to, like, go and see this film with a bunch of women and I have no idea what I'm getting into, Andy goes, hey, so you should watch these films. I was like, what movie should I watch to get caught up? He's like, you for sure need to watch Avengers and you need to watch Winter Soldier. Yeah. And I was like, fine. So
I'll just watch your films.
She was so mad. She was so mad.
I begrudgingly sat down with my son to watch these movies. And one of the greatest moments that I've had with Tristan watching all of these was when Winter Soldier was – I had no idea because I didn't read the comics. And so they, like, show that he's Bucky. And Tristan and I looked at each other and he goes, Mom, that's Bucky. And it was, like, the first time we had, like, connected over a Marvel movie.
Nice.
So thank you, Andy, for that moment. But also, I hate you because I ended up seeing Age of Ultron 4 times.
I think that's all. I think that's the amount I've actually seen it total.
I've now seen it probably 8 times because I've watched it so many
I've
other.
I've seen it once, and I just kept thinking to myself, the first half they took garbage and set it on fire, and then the second half. How is this garbage still burning with the amount of water they're throwing on it, making it wet fire garbage? Like, how is this still happening?
Napalm,
right. There's obviously some gasoline and some detergent in there. That's not how you make napalm, kids. Don't make napalm at home.
Don't
make
napalm.
Pants.
Don't play with phosphorus either.
No. But so I really feel like out of all my hatred for the Marvel Universe, it was sparked by Andrew Farmer, so if anyone's mad at me
so blame Andy for that.
I think Vinay protests too much because I have talked to her literally as soon as Infinity Wars ended. And it was, and I'm gonna call secrets. It was, please explain to me what I just saw because I can't, like, deal with this right now. So obviously there's some attachment to the Marvel Universe.
Ow.
You hate me because I got you invested in something, then you watched half of a universe die.
Do you know how long I've waited for this moment to happen? Like, when I first met Dee, I would ask her, hey, you want to go see him, like, anything Marvel related? And, like, you could literally see her eyes roll in slow-mo and, like, the detest in her face that she would be like, eh, no. And I'm like, good, no. I'm like, come on. I want one film. Yeah. I've been waiting a long time, bro.
We just had to keep throwing troops at the wall until we wore it down.
Well, honestly, what happened? And
she got married to Spider-Man.
That's right.
I love my two, my A's. I love my Andrew and I love my Aaron. But it took, like, marrying Spider-Man to. I mean, I don't have a choice. Like, I can sit and be miserable for the next 50 years, or I can just, like, suck it up and be like, hey, Tom Holland, super cute. And I'm allowed to be like, oh, he's cute now because it's Spider-Man and, like, it's fine.
So were you like, you want to go see Doctor Strange? Can we go see Monster Trucks?
It's like anything but Doctor Strange. Can we go see the boathouse again? Can we go...
by the time that movie even came around, and this is what I was telling Aaron, because I was really trying to unpack, like, what happened to me that led up to me being in mourning after seeing Infinity War. Like, how did I become so attached to these characters that I've literally avoided and hated for so long? And over the past 2 years, I saw Age of Ultron, and then when Chris moved here, it was just kind of like a thing, like, well, now I've seen Marvel movies in theaters, so I have to, I don't have an option, right? Civil War, for me, was a really big breaking point because it introduced some characters that I did like, Black Panther and Spider-Man, and I've always liked Cap. He's always been probably my favorite, but the caliber of filmmaking, and this is definitely my personal opinion, I know a lot of people disagree with this, I feel like just in the past 2 years, the caliber of filmmaking has taken a huge leap for the Marvel Universe.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's finally found a voice that I care about. It's finally found its own voice. We don't have Joss Whedon writing every character the same.
Yeah.
Snarky Cap is snarky, is not my Cap. And so for me, honestly, like, with everything that I've protested, I've said, no, I don't like this. I still don't particularly care for those films, but now I'm invested in the Marvel Universe. So it's cute to, like, go back and be like, oh, look how cute, like, Iron Man 1 was. Like, oh, look what they were trying to do. They finally accomplished it. It just took 10 more years. You know, like, that's me saying that I think that they've started to make really great films that I am able to enjoy. And so even when Doctor Strange came out, I was like, hey, we're going to see that, right? And Chris was like, what? Who are you? He's like, you really like Sherlock. I was like, that's true. But also, we have to see it because it's a Marvel movie.
Well, what's I think one of the things you had to have really experienced in a very intimate and concentrated way is that building of this universe that was so brilliantly thought out. In exactly a non-Warner's get-your-head-out-of-your-ass sort of way, where, you know, over at Warner, they're sitting on a gold mine that they want to just, you know, they want the gold to appear instantly, where the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they were panning for this gold.
Yeah.
And very patiently and building this, you know, giant gilded mountain where...
The biggest cinematic thing that's ever been done, ever kind of thing. There's nothing...
Yeah, and it... And Marvel or DC just at Warner, they're looking jealously over at this and they want it overnight.
Yeah.
And it's that building. One of the things that I pointed out to people that because there's so much space between them, they don't always realize is each of these films helps to establish the greater universe. In a way, it's all building toward Infinity War without it being a ham-fisted, we're building toward Infinity War.
Right, exactly. They're all individual, but yet still going in a single direction.
But each one of them introduces an element. Iron Man is a great jumping off point because it allows you to have a, not necessarily ordinary person, but a human being creating a means to an end.
Sure.
And going through a hero's journey. Then you
never
start...
is that more prevalent than in Iron Man 3 when he's stripped of his armor and has to fend for himself.
Yeah, and Pepper Pot has to win the day for everybody. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Toxic masculinity, Aaron, much?
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, damn superhero movie. I want to see the main superhero win the freaking movie. I don't care.
Oh, man. Woo! No big dick from the get- for Aaron.
Black Widow, I have no problem. I thought Wonder Woman, I thought it was a good movie. But if you're going to have Iron Man be the star, make him be the hero of the freaking movie and not his weirdo girlfriend.
Okay, but also they were going to make – I always forget the actress's name, but the botanist, they had considered making her be the Mandarin, but they chose not to because females sell less action figures.
Not just that, but
they
why
didn't even sell a Ben Kingsley action figure. I have to wait until now to buy one.
Well, yeah, why do we have to wait until 2018 to get a Trevor figure?
Why did they take Ben Kingsley away from us? He was perfect as the Mandarin. Why?
They didn't take him away from us. Okay, wait. We're not doing this now. We're waiting. We're not for this part of the show yet.
But what I was rather getting at is, you know, you go into the Incredible Hulk, which I feel was the, like, the least connected of all the train cars.
Absolutely.
I didn't even realize until I started researching lists of the cinematic phases that was actually even part of the mix.
Right.
It is.
Like 100% part of it.
Yep.
But with Hulk, you introduce the idea of the superhuman character.
Okay.
Then you, you know, Iron Man 2, you're just sort of building on this universe. With Thor, you introduce this universe now has a connection to a greater multidimensional universe. Right. With Captain America, you got to have Captain America if you're building toward the Avengers. And, of course, each of these movies is a building block to Avengers. But then you get to Iron Man 3 and Thor Dark World are more universe building, Winter Soldier. And then Guardians of the Galaxy allows you to expand into the intergalactic universe. And then Ant-Man, I think, is going to open doors that we have not even yet begun to realize.
I hope this new Ant-Man movie is really going to expand in or the imagination that goes into that.
Or compress, for that matter.
Or yeah, exactly, right?
But then, you know, you work your way to Doctor Strange, which introduces mysticism. You build on Guardians of the Galaxy. You have Spider-Man, which is bringing in the younger, brash hero. Each of these, everything is just building on the next thing and opening up. You know, two Guardians of the Galaxy expands your intergalactic presence, and it's a necessity if you're going to bring Thanos and a very intergalactic storyline into the mix. And I just love the fact that they're building on all these aspects that you couldn't have had Doctor Strange in Iron Man.
Right.
By the way, I'm still to this day, the reason that Doctor Strange didn't make my list of best Marvel movies is because magic and mysticism, if for my money, is the sausage of the Marvel Universe. and here's what I mean. We've got technology. I'm fine with that. Engineering, technology, you know, building a better mousetrap, the futurist, the uncanny valley of Stark being de-aged so he can talk to his dad at a weird college thing like that. Okay, fine. I'm in. I'll buy it. Whatever. My problem with magic is, it, like I said, it's the sausage, right? I just want to eat the sausage. Do not show me or tell me or explain to me how the sausage is made. I don't want to know. I don't care if there's formula and whatever to cast a magical spell. Don't tell me. I don't just it leave it unexplained. Some things are allowed to be unexplained. That's the way I've always felt about it, and it really that upsets me.
That's fair.
I understand where you're coming from there. You're wrong.
You're wrong.
I think that the reason they went the route, I felt in watching Doctor Strange that a lot of that was to try to make mysticism in the Marvel Universe approachable in the Marvel Universe. Was it midichlorians level castrating the Force?
No,
but I do see where you're coming from. That, you know, you don't necessarily need the mechanics of mysticism to enjoy seeing Doctor Strange just conjure shit out of thin air.
Do you know what doesn't castrate the Force?
Mm.
Big Dick Pants. Coming soon. Kickstarter.
Yeah, we need to copyright that because I'm thinking you could make some millions off that.
We're going to make millions of dollars between the four of us on this.
As long as I'm the spokesperson.
Absolutely.
You already are.
You're going to be on the infomercial.
So speaking of getting all hot and bothered and riled up, the whole point of this was there was a challenge online somewhere, your top four Marvel movies. And everywhere I saw these Marvel movies get posted, regardless of what anybody posted, there was always some flame war to follow these top four Marvel movie posts about why they were wrong or why they were right, which, you know, I really believe, and the whole reason that I wanted you guys on this thing and for us to do this as a group was everybody comes at this from a different perspective and a different angle. There are no wrong answers. Again, right. I'm going to – there are no wrong answers, all right? Yeah. Regardless of what I say, you can't tell me I'm wrong. So I just wanted to talk about our top fours and what they look like and why. Why are these there?
Kind of what we were saying with this whole buildup, and I think one of the things that Cole, because this it will explain, I think, why some of our top fours look different, besides the fact you guys are coming from a comic and we're coming from a Marvel cinematic, strictly MCU universe, is definitely watching it with the timeline that we did, is we have like such a different perspective, I think, than people who waited several years. And so When I come at my top four and it seems very I don't want to say like it's unwarranted or whatever. I know, like you're saying, everyone has like their own opinion, but honestly, like we put in all the work before Infinity War. We watched all of the movies and this cohesive storyline ended up making us like different characters than we previously maybe had. And so when everyone else was posting their top fours, they're like, Iron Man, because it was the first one I saw, and like this and this, and because of like, oh, I always loved Avengers, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so off base with my top four, because I'm coming at this from such a way different place.
So what's so, okay, that seems like a real decent place to start, right?
I don't know, though. One of the things that I want to point out here that we talk about often on this show is an era in history where a lot of the modern sciences were in their infancy in what we call the period of the gentleman scholar.
Yeah.
And I really think that the perspective you both are coming from is that of the gentleman scholar in a sense. Because you, number one, you have had this relationship with these movies over a very condensed period of time.
Yeah.
And so you're more studied in these than most, and of course the big dick pants.
Well, of course.
Also, and this is gonna sound totally wrong because this is a comic podcast. My view isn't tainted by the comics. Oh. I love comics. I think comics are great, but I get to enjoy the MCU for what it is.
There you have it. That is exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're able to come at it from the approach that like. The Blade Runner anecdote earlier very much underscores that.
You could have come, but you could have come on this show and just figured out a way to say that without throwing shade. I'm just saying.
I'm not throwing shade, but like, you know, there's so many of the, and I'm not trying to derogatorily, is that a word?
It is on this show.
Use the word fanboy, but there's a lot of Marvel and DC's really bad about this. Fanboys who are like, well, in the comics, and I'm like, cool, but this one is based. This is based on Marvel Comics characters.
Let me tell you though, if you go on the John Grisham forums, they are all over. Well, in the novel,
exactly.
How's about your Jack Reacher?
Oh yeah. Started on how Jack Reacher fans can not get their heads around how they're, you know, the 6'4" American murder machine is being played by a pretty boy who's like 5 foot nothing.
And the whole plot of the first movie was him returning my lost wallet. So, so I think this is a good place to start. Danae.
Why me?
Because you are very vocal about this.
Yes.
In your defense. And you also
threw shade.
Are we going like 4-1 or 1-4? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. No particular order. It doesn't matter. Just like, what are your top four? Having done what you just did, the endurance, the Iditarod of movie watching, like, what are your top four?
And here why do I preface everything? I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not including Infinity War because the storyline isn't finished with it. And listen. There's
that's a valid approach.
I watched 18 movies. I made a top five after those 18 movies. And I will give you my top four, even though it cuts out my tie for fifth place, which was important. honestly... Okay. I will start with my number two just because it was the first Marvel movie. It was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
That's one of the first Marvel movies I admit to enjoying. I saw it 4 or 5 times in the theater. It's my number two only because another film came out. Up being a lot more in love with, but Guardians, I think, changed the way I felt about Marvel initially, and I feel the same way a lot about Captain America. But that's my number five, so I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Well, I want to say in defense of your, you know, the placement of Guardians of the Galaxy in your top four, that was one of the at that point in the cinematic universe. Guardians of the Galaxy was coming out. I already knew it was based on the modern incarnation. It wasn't going to have jack to do with the original, which would be awkward in its own right. I thought the incarnation they were trying to approach was awkward in its own right. I had zero. I'm like, I'll go out and see it like third weekend out or something like that. I am in no rush to see this movie. The first ad campaigns hit. I'm like, where do I get my ticket for opening day?
I'm the exact same way, man. It's like
I was ill prepared.
And I was like, when Star-Lord did the rolling up and flipped off the camera thing, I was like, I'm sold, man. This made me giggle. I'm in. Let's do this.
It's a lot of the reason why I saw the Star Trek movie that J.J. Abrams made is because I liked Zachary Quinto in Hero, so I kept calling it Siler in space. I kept saying, I can't wait to see Andy Dwyer in space.
Right, right, for sure. Because
I love Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec. And so Guardians for me was just like, it didn't feel like I was betraying my DC comrades and seeing a Marvel film. Like, it just was like a decent, good movie with an incredible soundtrack. The casting, directing, everything about that movie is wonderful. And so I've seen that movie at least 30 times. My son, it was one of his movies that he wanted to watch all the time. And so that I still love it. Every viewing,
it's highly watchable.
Yes. So yeah, that's my number two. I wanted to just start with that one. I don't know why. And then everything else is literally going to be in the past 2 years. So Thor Ragnarok is my number four. As someone who came into all of this not liking Thor, for that to even make my top 10 is...
I'm so happy that she's saying this.
Every other Thor movie I begrudgingly watch.
I've been wanting her to like Thor for a while.
I'm not a fan of the shirtless scenes. I'm not a fan. I don't think he's super dreamy. So that does nothing for me. I have a bigger crush on Natalie Portman than I do Chris Hemsworth.
She had a mangasm.
Stay away from my wife.
We've already talked about this. We'll share her. It's fine.
All right.
So she got me through some of the other two movies, but I just don't really – I haven't cared for him. And so honestly, besides the fact that Taika Waititi is an incredible director and a genius in his own right, I still feel kind of like I wish he would have directed Guardians 2 just because it fits the MO. But it's so great for Thor to get – a breath of fresh air and for it not to be abysmal and dark and whatever. And so I love that film. And I realized that even though Carl Urban is my heart eyes and everything that I ever do, I giggle. I never mention him when I talk about this film because he's like my least favorite character because everyone else in this movie is so incredible. Like, how dare you cast Jeff Goldblum in a film with Carl Urban. That's very hard. That's very difficult.
Don't get me started. I love me some Goldblum.
He is a national treasure. I have seen literally everything that man has done. The problem is most of it was when I was too young to remember, and it was like through my fingers peeking when I wasn't allowed to. So I need to watch it again as an adult.
All I can say is the guys call me New Jersey.
Yes. Oh God. Yes.
This one.
Earth Girls Are Easy was like one of my favorite movies when I was growing up.
Buckaroo Banzai Girl. You get it. Get into that.
No. Yeah.
One of the classics.
That is Dr. Sidney Zweibel, aka New Jersey.
He's amazing, and he was great in that film. I mean, literally, it was just such a good movie. And so, I'm not pained to add it because it's so great, but it feels very weird for me to add Thor in there. But then, you know, once we see Infinity War, it makes the storyline and the realization Thor goes through even richer for Ragnarok. So I'm dwelling way too long on this, as you guys are going to hate me. My number three is going to be Spider-Man Homecoming. And honestly, to wrap it in a pretty bow, they finally got Spider-Man right.
Oh, dear God, yes.
I agree. Finally.
I agree.
It took a while for me to... And I didn't hate the other Spider-Man movies. I wasn't in love with them. And this made me understand why my husband loves Spider-Man so much. I think they did a really good job. Not to mention that the incomparable John Daly wrote it, and he's from Freaks and Geeks, and he's a great guy. And I felt like you could tell a fan wrote it. Someone who liked Spider-Man actually wrote Spider-Man, and so he made him. And not only did he make Spider-Man be Spider-Man, like, what a great villain! Michael Keaton is just.
I heard an interesting anecdote today about that movie, about Michael Keaton. Is they, whenever he had the Vulture costume on and would show up on set, like, for his shot, they had to do like 8 or 9 takes, because for like the first 6 takes he'd go, "I'm Batman," and then they would have to cut and everybody would lose it and laugh, and then they would have to reset and redo the entire thing.
That makes it even better. That makes me want to move it to number one, because that movie's so great, and Tom Holland is so adorable and dreamy and precious, but he's still like nerdy and geeky. It's just wonderful. It's a good movie.
And don't play a teenager, and you believe that he's a teenager.
Oh, I know, it's got all the dynamics. I mean, especially for them to effectively spend, as it were, some of the screen time on the relationship with his best friend. That sold the dynamic of teen years brilliantly, in a way that just Peter sitting around being sullen and hanging around with his pal Norman, or Harry rather, just wouldn't.
I felt like if you were ever going to make a John Hughes superhero movie, like, what I just think they did it so to Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the movie, when he's running around, and so really great. And like I said, Civil War is where I really plugged into the Marvel Universe, so that's when I started caring about characters. So that's where I get, like, I love Homecoming. And then my number one, and everyone wants to fight me on this, is Black Panther.
That I film will not flawless. Fight you on that.
That film is flawless. It took Marvel 10 years to make a film in which I felt like I cared about every character.
Hell yes!
Every one of them had their own voice. They had their own story. They had their own vision. Like, everything was just so great about that movie. I have little to no complaints. Perfect villain. It was a really big departure for me, because I've been trying not to feed into the hype, because I found out if you go into a DC movie not wanting it to be good, then you don't hate it as much.
Yeah, exactly. I found that out too. It's amazing, right?
For me.
And so what I've been trying to do is not feed into the hype, but Black Panther, man, the minute I saw, I don't read the comics. I have no idea who T'Challa is. I see him in Civil War and I'm like, this dude's wearing a flipping cat suit. He's got a dope accent and he kicks ass. I'm in it. Like, I'm on, like, yeah, I'm signed me up. And so of course then they had Kendrick Lamar do the soundtrack and I'm losing my mind, but I fell into the hype, even though I've been trying not to. Lived up to the hype, and what DC is trying to do by making Wonder Woman with strong female characters and trying to add characters of color or whatever, Marvel with this film did better. They did it right, and they did it in a way that I wasn't gagging on the feminism in it. It was just like, hey, here's a chick and she kicks ass. I don't have to tell you she kicks ass, because she just does.
Right.
So yeah, that's my top four. A lot of it, like I said, is post Civil War. Captain America and Civil War were tied for my fifth place, because they're movies that got me to care about the characters. And so that's honestly, after 16 weeks, I think we found out it was 38 hours of film watching. I don't know.
Yeah,
those are the four films that I could continually watch and still be entertained and still care about the characters. So nice. For what it's worth, my slice of the MCU.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
You did a great job. That's awesome.
I just got a gold star from Andy. Like,
you
that
did.
Was good for you today.
For a
8 hours and 27 minutes, if you
for,
want
for a novice, you know, in this genre, I think you did fine. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Cole, why don't you go? We'll split this up. Why don't you go? What were your four?
This was tough because I sat guess. Here jumping all over lists. Of course, Iron Man 2. No.
Iron Man 2. Thor Dark World.
Yeah, oh, God.
Jesus.
Incredible Hulk. You know.
Captain America, but with Reb Brown.
Yeah. Not technically part of it, but I love it so much.
And of course,
David Hasselhoff.
Hey, yes. Number one, always number one choice for any Marvel movie, David Hasselhoff's Nick Fury and Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Seriously, though, it is the best Marvel movie.
Well, this, I'm just going to, you know, go a little bit all over the map to one of my favorite films, and I just kept like watching it on Netflix every chance I got. I just put it on for background noise, anything. I absolutely adore Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Really?
I love Guardians of the Galaxy. God, I just, you know, I could watch that. I could watch both of them constantly.
I
just love the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy has the fondness in my heart because I was not going to like this film. I wasn't going to care that they were making it. It didn't matter. I knew what they were doing. You know, it's getting outer space and intergalactic characters into the MCU.
I could hug you right now.
And then I got hooked from the commercials, and then I can't wait to see it, and it delivered. But I think it's that familiarity with the characters to get to revisit this wonderful intergalactic world. And to one of the things, you know, I talked about earlier, you know, it wasn't going to have the original Guardians because it would just be silly. I mean, they were created in like the late 60s, early 70s. They're frankly stupid characters, but they're stupid fun characters. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we get Yondu in this sort of like, wow, you actually figured out a way to do Yondu. Mm-hmm. And I remember speculating to people, what I'd love to see is that it turns out that Yondu is, you know, as a Ravager, is like sort of a discredited member of the original Guardians of the Galaxy. That's where that's why Ronan is sarcastically calling him your Guardians of the Galaxy. And
what
we got was different but equally good. I was just having a fanboy wetting myself. You know, I had my Negan shitting pants on because I was ready for anything. And sure enough, when you see, I knew Sylvester Stallone had been cast. I love the subtle nods to, with Yondu and then again with the rest of these Ravagers, to the original Guardians of the Galaxy, where Stallone's character was the actual, you know, personal name of the character Starhawk, who had these giant ass big, in the comics, this like big golden arches coming out of his shoulders. Right. And they figured out a way to incorporate that into his leather jacket with his weird little, you know, space water wings there going on. And
now,
huh?
I said, that makes so much sense now. I'd even put two to two together.
Yeah. If you look at the grouping, yeah, they had Martin X, who is like, you know, in the comics, a more precisely chiseled, faceted, crystalline character.
Yeah, I know.
At the end, you have, I forget who is it plays, Charlie 27. Ving Rhames. It's just, and they make him colossal, where, you know, Charlie 27 looked like you took a normal guy and kind of squished him a little bit to make him wide and thick. And then they mixed in some characters from the more modern incarnations as well, like the big serpentine character, who I'm not as familiar with. But it's the fact that they kept finding ways to layer in these wonderful nods. I read afterward about Taserface actually being a character in the more modern incarnations. And I love the fact that they took a character, I thought, there's no way you're going to pull this off in Rocket Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
I love Rogue Kid.
And yeah, they find a way to make it work and make it fun.
Bradley, right?
Yep.
And I'm still seeing from the old Wizard magazine casting calls they used to do, because every single casting call, it got to the point where it was degraded down to the only reason you cast that actor is because they're standing in the same pose with their mouth open the same way as one panel of a comic you found.
And or they're professional wrestlers.
And, yeah, that was the other thing is every single casting call after the first two always had a professional wrestler in it. And, you know, really? Here comes another damn professional. Wow, he actually is pretty darn good. And even more so as Drax in the second one. And you can tell everybody's just having a freaking blast. And then you get CG retrofit, de-aged.
No CG on that character, actually. No. He was all makeup. It was all.
Oh yeah,
he's a beautiful man. But all right,
such a rendering. I mean, I thought I was watching some old Disney basketball movie or something. Yeah. Or Son of Flubber.
I mean, he's been in the Disney wheelhouse now for 40 years, so they got plenty of footage of him from when he was a child. So it's like it made sense, right? But then
they still have the skin that he shed as he grew.
But how amazing was it when you found out for the first time that no, that was just a makeup job? I was like, wait, hold on, wait, what? How's that possible? Yeah,
there's a lot of debate out there as to whether or not that's his beard or not. So I'm still waiting for the jury to get clear on that.
Yeah, but amazing casting. When I first heard that he was cast as Ego, and that Ego, the living planet, for God's sake.
I was curious on how they were going to play that out, because he was a giant planet. How are they going to make him a character in this movie? And
And they did a brilliant. I just sort of imagined he would be voicing
a giant planet. Yeah.
He was the voiceover. Yeah, exactly.
And they just found ways to make some of the most ridiculous characters approachable. I mean, a lot of people get pissy about how they just completely altered the character of Mantis. But frankly, in the comics, the Mantis character isn't terribly interesting.
Correct.
She's not insanely interesting in this incarnation, but within the storyline, and it gives you a character that is workable.
I love her and Drax together.
God.
Movie with him
that
together.
That is some of the, oh, this is me imagining being intimate with you. Oh. It's not that I'm a pet and I'm ugly. I mean, her innocence, I think, is it allows that character to be the one bouncing around in the mixed gravity.
Yes.
In the hell. Titan. In Infinity War. Yeah, on Titan. So I'm gonna I have to depart from that, because otherwise we'll be here all night just me talking about and the music, of course, the continuation of the music, the scene. My closing thought is this: the scene with Rocket and Yondu.
Aww.
Set to
we're the same.
Now moving in a different direction. Captain America: The First Avenger is actually one of my all-time favorites.
Yes!
Because it is, the fact that they found a way to, you know, in the comics, Nick Fury is he's like 110 now himself. Mm-hmm. Because he was actually a sergeant in the U.S. Army in World War II.
No joke. No, I didn't date it that far back.
He was a white boy.
He was David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. And in his World War II adventures, he hung around with the likes of Dum Dum Duggan and a bunch of other unique soldiers who apparently got to just sort of dash protocol, dress up however they wanted, as long as they fought Nazis in the Red Skull, as Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the Howling Commandos were given a second chance in a universe with a very abbreviated World War II.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
To make it, instead of Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos, it's Captain America's Howling Commandos. And, of course, in Winter Soldier, they're acknowledged as the Howling Commandos.
Yes, they were.
I could talk about that move. I could talk about Captain America for 3 hours, and I think you and I have talked about it for two, but that was one of the coolest. Dum Dum Duggan writ large was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a movie to date up to that point,
and
where
the,
I was
the
like,
act was just brilliant. I just like, oh my God, this is the Dumb Dumb Duggan of the Howling Commandos, of like second in command of S.H.I.E.L.D., for God's sake.
Right.
This is the guy that that like Ahab like chased Godzilla across the American landscape in
Absolutely
comics.
Absolutely true.
Yes, he actually, S.H.I.E.L.D. actually went after Godzilla for like some ungodly 2 years.
Dear God.
18 issues.
18 issues, so a year and a half.
I have a little Nick Fury tidbit of information I have at my fingertips. He was first issued in 1963, like you said, from the Howling Commandos. And a little did you know that Nick Fury regularly ingests the top secret infinity formula to remain.
Oh, that's your secret.
Which is why I'm hoping that they do a when they do the inevitable S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. Movie or this movie coming up, where I don't even want them Captain Marvel movie. I don't even want them to de-age him.
Okay.
Because I want him to have been the same age he is now then.
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah.
Oh, like he stopped aging
at like
started
45,
like taking the serum
and
never,
and so yeah. And never,
and he's actually like 90, but he looks, that would be cool.
That
so,
would
because we've given this movie a lot of love already through Danae, we're going to go ahead and bring Black Panther into the mix. Black Panther, rests on a high pedestal with The Dark Knight, in that it is not a good superhero movie. It is a good movie.
Right.
Yes.
That just happens to be a superhero movie.
Hashtag blessed.
I mean, that it just hits so many perfect notes.
Hey, that's awesome.
One of the things I loved is when it was announced that Andy Serkis was Ulysses Klaue.
Yes.
In Age of Ultron. I thought, okay, who better to play Ulysses Klaue if you're going to have to go to an ultimately motion capture character like Klaue?
Because in the comics, he is a weird suit wearing. It looks like he has a mask and a big like sonar dish on his arm.
Yeah. But in the comics, he was transformed from human into a being of pure sound, which apparently is pink and fuchsia.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the colors of sound when you solidify them and put a bullhorn on one fist.
Is
pink and fuchsia.
So you're telling me if I had synesthesia, which is the ability to see color out of
best
work.
Superpower ever is what
I am very familiar with synesthesia.
Oh, okay. Well, then perfect. So you're saying that his powers are pink and fuchsia?
Yeah.
Well, apparently,
non-synesthesics
reportedly see him as pink and fuchsia. Synesthesics see him as a like a big old pile of lifesavers. It's
orange rainbows.
The weird way that that particular condition works in the brain.
Let's
he smells
real.
Like a tobacco shop.
This joke is going to be for exactly two people in this room.
Yeah. And for readers of Smithsonian Magazine, who are chuckling.
Ulysses Klaue was created by Jonathan from the new season of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Just get over it.
Let me tell you, he's fabulous. But the fact that we didn't get that what we got instead was someone giving Andy Serkis the opportunity to do what Andy Serkis does well, whether he's wearing a gray jumpsuit with ping pong balls all over it.
Yes.
Or if he's like in his all too brief scenes in The Prestige.
Oh, God,
acting.
I forgot he was in that.
He is a damned fine actor.
He is great, right?
And, you know, he also got the motion capture fake hand, so.
Right.
Partial.
But he really sold that character, man.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for his what he portrayed him as, I wouldn't really care that much. But he made it so entertaining that I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah, you like, you know you need to hate him, but you almost kind of like him too.
Which are some of the best bad guys ever.
Exactly. So you're kind of like, you know, not too bad, Andy Bear.
Yeah, like if Killmonger could just come back to life in Infinity War 2 and be good.
Have you seen The Body? It's a Marvel movie. Have you seen The Body?
That's true. Yeah.
Killmonger
happened
to Red Skull.
I'd be happy about that.
I peed a little.
Catherine was like, you know, squeezing her the blood out of her arm. And finally, in a probably a bit of a departure, I absolutely love Doctor Strange.
Thank you.
I found it wonderfully entertaining. Mads Mikkelsen is not one of my favorite actors. I absolutely loved him as Caecilius. I love the interplay. I love the fact that they could kind of jump back and forth between being very serious about the subject matter and occasionally just having fun.
I loved how they took a risk with the special effects, and because before this they were talking about like, oh, this is we're gonna show you something that you've never seen before. It's gonna blow your mind. You know, it was really a risk of the Marvel studio to make this movie the way they did, and for me, it paid off in dividends. I really liked it visually.
And whoever did the CG, the brilliant just reality bending was,
awesome, right?
I mean, a lot of people complain, oh, I liked it better the first time when it was called Inception. Well, yeah, I mean, it's invocative of Inception, but it's still original.
I like when Inception was called The Matrix.
Oh, yeah, I liked when I was back in my youth, we would go see plays by Aeschylus. And
I was going to say I liked it better when it was Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, wow.
That's I like it better when it was Dreamscape.
Don't you dare, sir.
Dude, we're
nightmare
going
fuel not. Still to this day, Dreamscape.
I'm surprised I could actually conjure that one up.
Oh, but man, good one.
Some of the visuals in that, the way that like things would be folding in on each other while simultaneously folding out, and this kind of almost like where certain things were sort of collapsing and invoking kind of the imagery of like Tibetan prayer wheels,
mm-hmm.
was the feeling I got. And some of that would also apparently grind you up like the giant industrial grinder in Junker Town there in the Walking Dead. But anyway, I thought that the casting was brilliant. The ironic casting of an actor whose last name was Wong as Wong, so he just felt right at home the whole shoot. The fact that Wong gets to be more than just a guy who brings Doctor Strange tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gets to back to the Sanctum Sanctorum when shit gets tough. That's what he gets to do.
Yeah, he goes and picks
little
up
asshole.
Like apparently just lying there on the
little
in the rumpus
butt.
Room. They've got just, you know, casually on a shelf like some sort of paperweight, the Wand of Watoom.
Right.
There were some little nods to the fanboys, much like you see in a lot of really good cinematic stuff. I love the just taking a little bit different thing going back to Ragnarok, the fact that they passed by that Infinity Gauntlet prop, which obviously isn't the Infinity Gauntlet because it hasn't even been forged yet, and that it's a fake. I'm like, thank you for acknowledging that it was there when nobody knew it shouldn't be.
Right.
Exactly.
But the artifact that Wong picks up for the final fight is an actual, it looks like it's right out of the comics, an artifact known as the Wand of Watoom. And the fact that they invoked the Living Tribunal, I'm like, you know, my fanboy head was exploding. Where, like with Danae, you're coming at that from a different angle where it's just like, oh, that sounds interesting, you know, the staff. And where Eddie and I are just peeing a little or a lot.
A lot. There was a lot of pee.
Yeah. So, and I think that's one of the wonderful things about the fact that you were coming to this as a non-fan. Because you get to enjoy these things in exactly the way that Marvel gets it, and that's that you can have these nods for the fanboys. Not absolutely everybody's going to get it, and it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay if, to me, that's the Wand of Watoom, and to you, it's an artifact that happened to be laying around there on the.
You know, it's important because they mentioned it. That's the only, that's all I got for it. Because I don't know a lot. I don't know absolutely anything about Doctor Strange other than, you know, he's a magician or wizard or whatever.
The Sorcerer Supreme did it right.
Yeah.
They're embarrassing us all.
Back off, puppy dog. Like, I knew that was important because, you know, they focused in on the name itself. And the only reason why you do that in cinema is to allow you to be like, hey, this actually means something. Otherwise, why even bring it up in the first place?
And the other thing is, you know, the casting of Benedict Cumberbatch is just, you know, you got no complaints.
And little Benny Cabbage Patch.
But you do, he can hop in my cabbage patch.
Here we go.
But to, you know, to have him affect an American accent and to play the character so that they gave some depth to his character as a surgeon. Mm-hmm. Like the whole scene there in surgery when he's like, you know, messing around with the best music to play while he's you know, doing music trivia while simultaneously like poking around in somebody's head.
Yeah.
You know, you just want Peter Weller to go, you know, don't tug on that. You never know what it might be attached to.
God, it's a night full of
Bunker
Bonsai references, isn't it?
Let's talk about movies I can watch daily.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But Danae, have you ever seen Buckaroo Banzai?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was about to say, if you have not, we will watch that.
We need to watch it anyway, but
how
yes.
How many times have you seen it, Danae?
Oh, gosh, it's been... Like I said, I haven't seen it since I was little.
Yeah, okay. It's been a long time since.
Do you like John Lithgow?
Yes.
Just make an O with your mouth and then say anything, and you're doing a John Lithgow impression.
That's right. I thought Emilio Lozardo. Maybe you don't remember me.
Huh. I'll watch anything Jeff Goldblum is in. It doesn't matter.
There you go. But the first time I saw that movie, as a quick aside, I absolutely hated it. My brother got me to watch it. He goes, watch it with me twice because you're going to hate it and then you're going to love it. And he was right. And with the exception of Catherine, every single person that I've ever told, watch it twice and you will love it forever. That has borne true.
It's one of those type of movies, though, that it has to grow on you as you watch it. It's so bizarre and so out there, and just it's so crazy that they make this movie, but it's so glorious in what it is. It's great.
Okay, well let's have your top four because I'm going to go ahead and leave things there. Four,
I'm going to give you my top five, but I'm going to make the fifth one very quickly. Top five is Doctor Strange because I have to say after you just talked about it, I love that. too. But what's great is that it wasn't this way until I rewatched it this last run through. Like this last run through has changed the way I look at these movies big times, with the exception of a few. But like number four, I actually fell asleep during number four in the theater because I made the mistake on going late on a Friday night. I had a couple beers. And it wasn't just me. It was my other two friends that I was with. I remember I was getting super cross-eyed. I looked over to my right because they were sitting to my right, both of them. And both of them were just passed out cold. And I'm like, I got to stay awake. But Thor Ragnarok is my number five because of the psychedelicness. I loved the look of it. I loved the feel of it. I loved the soundtrack. I loved Thor coming into his own. I love Thor. I love how Thor and the Incredible Hulk make it a duo. I wish they would do that so much more. Jeff Goldblum's character to Lady Death. What's her name?
Hela.
Hela.
All of it was just so, hella cool. Like, and it wasn't until this last viewing of it that I bumped it up to the level that I did, because I was like, the first time I saw it, I passed out, sort of. Second time I saw it, I was like, all right, this is pretty good. The third time, which was when we did the whole Infinity thing, I watched, I was like, oh my God, I think I really, really, really enjoy this movie. It's like, I could go out and I don't buy many movies. But this is one that I'd be like, you know what? I think I could actually buy this movie. I dig it so much. The cheesy humor didn't wear off. The soundtrack was still amazing. Like when they did Led Zeppelin, you know, and Thor was coming down and lightning was going everywhere. I was like, yeah, baby, get this shit. I love that.
Well, you get to have the Hulk given a voice at last.
Yeah, except for that they freaking auto-tuned his voice. And absolutely insane with it, because I could hear it. And just once I heard it the first time that they did it, I could not focus in on it. I was like,
well, that was because they used the Will Smith studio, and they used where his daughter recorded her album.
Hey, they forgot. Nicole, that was a really recent reference.
I'm
really proud of you.
Thank you.
So yeah, I can't tell you on how just. Like when he goes, it's my birthday, and then, like the little sparkles are going, or what do you call them, a sparkle finger? What was it, Danae, that they
the belty stick. Oh.
Yeah.
The Lord of Sparkles. Lord, I don't know. I forgot already. It's late.
Today's getting tired.
I'm over here just thinking about Jeff Goldblum, I'm sorry.
Oh, Goldblum.
You learn to be able to do other things over time, along with.
Hey, Danae.
But that's why I put Thor up there as far up the ladder as I did. It was like it wasn't even top five when I first saw it. Then after rewatching it, I was like, you know what? I really like this movie. My third one I'd have to go with Avengers Infinity War. I really, really enjoyed Infinity War. I would put it up higher, but I have other reasons why I don't. I thought Thanos was a great villain. I thought they could have deepened his voice a little bit to make him a little more sinister. But other than that, I thought it was a solid movie from beginning to end. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy crew that's in there. that you had the best of every portion of all the movie that we have seen to this point put into this, and they juggled it right for the most part.
Well, what also is wonderful is Captain America acts like Captain America acts in Captain America films. The Guardians of the Galaxy acted like the Guardians of the Galaxy act in Guardians of the Galaxy films. Iron Man, Thor, everyone was allowed to be the characters you've known, not my version of those characters as the director.
How awesome was it to finally get to see Thor freaking being Thor? Like, I literally was like, that was one of my most favorite parts of that entire movie is when Thor was like, hey, when he was talking to Rocket, it's like, hey, you're the captain, right? And he's like, yeah. And like I need you to take me to wherever the dwarf planet is, and I love Thor, and I love him even more now because of that stupid movie. And I also love
the fact that Thor kept referring to Rocket as a rabbit.
Yes,
because as an Asgardian, his people's interaction with Earth was primarily concentrated in and around the Nordic regions.
Makes sense.
Where there are no raccoons.
Right, right.
He have no frame of reference, so he just simply calls Rocket what Earth animal he most resembles. There's plenty of rabbits and hares in Europe.
Sure, why not, right? Just everything about that movie was really solid. I still haven't gone re-seen it. That's on my to-do list.
Oh, same here.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat. I was satisfied greatly with that movie, and not only that, but like so many times when they split ending movies up, like there's gonna be another Infinity War movie, right? So many times when you get that, you feel like you've been cheated out of a whole movie.
And yeah,
I didn't feel that way. I felt that it satisfied me enough where I was like, you know what, I'm cool. This is good. The ending was fine. I'm not sad like a lot of people were, because I know everybody's coming back, but I'm going to go see it again, which I rarely do in the movie theater, see something twice. Number two, I have the original Avengers. And the reason I did that is because it's like, you know, when you hear, like when you have a song that's really good and then you have a band that redoes that song, but that song is really good too. Same thing here. It's like, I love the original more because the original is the original, and you can't take away respect from the original.
And and that movie really pulled me into the Marvel universe when you got to see, you know, Bruce Banner go like, yeah, I'm always angry. He turns into the Hulk and smashes that Chitauri Leviathan in the face. And you got to see Hulk throw around Loki, beauty, or God. And all these things that made the Avengers why I loved it and saw it so many times. I have to put it in with respect to that second filler just because of how much I really, truly appreciated it and what it did for me as cinematically speaking for the Marvel Universe. Number one, though, is Guardians of the Galaxy. I've said this so many times, I feel like a broken record, but that movie to me, like, it's in space, it's got aliens, it's got Rocket Raccoon, it's got Groot, Drax. You couldn't ask for a better Drax. Gamora, I could have thought Gamora could be more hard-edged.
You shut your dirty whore mouth. Zoe Saldana is a national treasure.
I kind of agree with you, though.
Because in the comic book, Gamora is very hard-edged. And
she's the universe's greatest assassin.
Exactly, yeah. Right? She's supposedly the baddest badass, right? But her inner self comes too much out. You think, like, Gamora's too likable. And Gamora's supposed to be a badass, right? Like, she's going to kill and kick anybody's ass that gets in her way. In fact, like, she doesn't even hook up with Peter Quill in the comic books, right? Because she's too much for a normal human to even
Later she does.
I know she hooks up with Iron Man.
Later she hooks up with Quill for a while. But Quill also has a long ongoing relationship with Kitty Pryde and he's a
lady.
Yeah, well, that happens. And well, like, the when I Guardians of the Galaxy did so much for me that I literally started reading the comic books Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I don't know if I could say anything like I
that's your stamp. That's your biggest stamp of approval.
Because, like, I was so, like, I love the universe. Like, Cole, like you said, I didn't know anything about these people. I have no history of knowledge, right? I saw that first trailer, and I remember my buddy Steven. He was like, dude, have you seen the trailer? I was like, no, I haven't, man. It's like, dude, you should really check out the trailer. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. It's like, I was like, all right. So I watched it, and it was just that little snippet when they're in that police lineup and they're all going, you know, they're going
the Nova Corps.
Nova Corps, thank you. I was going to say Nebula, but I knew that wasn't right. The Nova Corps was going over them and saying what, you know, what they know about them and whatnot. And I was so entertained with that one little trailer. I literally told my buddies, like, I am going to see this movie. I don't care if it's good or bad. I don't know what it is or why it is, but I got to see this movie, and I was so not disappointed. The soundtrack was freaking – you couldn't ask for a more perfect soundtrack for a movie. Characters that they put in here and the people that they casted for these characters couldn't have been better. Ronan the Accuser was
– oh, you know, good night. I don't know if I've ever seen Lee Pace in anything before or since. I don't know it.
Yeah.
But –
you
but
have.
Damn.
He's in everything.
He made a great bad guy, right?
Oh. And, like, and he looked almost exactly – he was the one of the closest costuming to the comic that I've ever seen.
For me, an antagonist's voice is almost as important as everything else. If the voice does portray like I'm scared or I'm intimidated by the characters, then I'm not gonna get sold into who they are. And he did that for me. Like, when he told freaking Thanos, like, you know, when he got the Power Stone and he was like, nah, I ain't giving it to you. Come and get it. Take it from me. I was like, yeah, do that stuff, man. Rain came down on freaking Nova Corps. Let's do this stuff, right? And then you had John C. Reilly was in the movie, I love that dude. He's always great in everything, like Talladega Nights. Great movie.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know how we got to Talladega Nights right now, but that
Walk
means
hard.
That someone else needs to start talking.
It's one degree of separation at this point.
Yeah, great movie. That's my – well, I gave five, but that – if you – all those to me.
Such wonderful enthusiasm for all of yours. And you and Danae both.
You guys need to go get a room somewhere. Danae and I are texting each other. We're like, we should never have introduced you two in any kind of capacity.
Yeah, the frightening thing is, you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas.
You know, I've got a Star Wars podcast right across the street from Thanksgiving Square the first Sundays of the month.
Danae
and I are out of a job. Danae, you want to start a podcast?
apparently it's the Danae Andrew show from now on because and Cole have now become BFFs.
I have my Bible right here. This is the original first edition Star Wars novel from.
Oh Jesus!
Oh, Lord.
All right, so my four.
So Andy's top four.
Oh, Andy, do you have four?
I do, and mine are easy. So I'm gonna as comptroller, we're running low on time, so I'm just gonna make this short and sweet.
Good to you, bro.
So my four are all. I picked my four for the same reason. Every one of them. I view everything through a gaze of comic books. All media that I consume, I read through as a comic book. It's just something once you've been indoctrinated for as long as I have, and you really believe that comic books are the best way to tell a story, in the modern paradigm, then everything I see, I ask myself a question, and that question, every one of these movies in particular that I see, that question is this: would I read this if it were a comic book? Would I enjoy this if it were a comic book? Which is a really interesting question to ask at a comic book movie. So my four are all in there for the same reason. Because if they were an arc in a comic or a standalone comic or a run of comics, I would absolutely love to read them. Because either A, they take the idea of a story and they turn it on its ear. B, they take a direction of something that I knew that was supposed to happen and completely flip it. Or C, they're just a good romp and it's well written and I just would love, I could read it over and over again. So my four, in no particular order, are Ant-Man.
Oh, very nice.
Captain America, Winter Soldier.
I want to point out that Ant-Man was that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 edged Ant-Man out just.
Yeah, Ant-Man, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Infinity War, and motherfucking Iron Man 3. Yeah, there it is. So I'm going to quickly defend Iron Man 3. The rest of them I don't feel like I have to. One of the greatest moments in my adult, I will tell you this about Infinity War. One of the greatest moments in my adult life, you go to these movies and you watch these movies and they run their after credits scene, right? Every one of them has an after credit scene or two. So you'll be sitting there with your friends. You'll be sitting there with whoever. You know, the movie will end. Some people will trickle out. Some people will be on their phones. They'll start talking amongst themselves about the movies, waiting on this scene after the 10 minutes of credits, which, by the way, everybody should stay and watch the credits. They worked really hard on the movie, assholes. Regardless of what's after it. So at the end of Infinity Wars, I literally stand up and look around the theater. And it is dead silence. There isn't a phone in hand. Nobody is talking to each other. They're just staring at the screen. Except for like two or three people who were like me that were like thumbs up at each other like, eh? Yeah? Yeah? Then we were the assholes. But that's when you know that the movie has had the effect that it needed to have. And that's exactly what that movie did. You know, that movie was exciting because if they took that movie and made it a comic book, I would read it, right? I would read it. If I had no concept of this story existing outside of the MCU and they gave it to me in a comic book and said, read this, I would love it.
I would agree with you on that.
Iron Man 3.
Here we go.
Iron Man. I really don't feel like I have to defend Ant-Man. It's just fun. It's well written.
Now, let me tell you, I have been waiting for an Ant-Man movie since the Marvel premiere where they introduced.
Mad because Scott Lang was Ant-Man before the movie, and then after the movie we talked, and you were no longer upset.
Yeah, because I was afraid they were going to lose the initial context, but also, but yeah, they made that happen. But I've been waiting for an Ant-Man movie since the Marvel premiere where Scott Lang was introduced.
Really?
Yeah.
And Garrett Morris as Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Saturday Night Live skit.
But mm-hmm. it was just fun, right?
I could
right?
shrink like, out the size of an ant and retain my human strength. Hey, we got a guy here with human strength.
It was Chip Zdarsky level, Matt Fraction level funny, where yeah. the telling the story about this guy talked to this guy and this guy talked to this guy. Like, it was funny. Paul Rudd can do no wrong in my book. I absolutely love Paul Rudd. Here's my defense of Iron Man 3.
Should we get a drum roll?
You don't need it. You don't need it. All right. For much the same reason that I really liked Infinity War, I liked Iron Man 3, but I liked Iron Man 3 more because every comic book fan and every circle I run in was so effing mad. Was so mad about the fact that Mandarin turned out not to be the Mandarin, that it was perfect. Because if you could take a bunch of jaded dicks that have been reading comics for 25 or 30 years and throw them a curveball that they didn't, you'll never, and they, he, again, Mandarin tells you in the movie, you'll never see it coming. And you didn't.
Me though. What about me though? I'm not that individual. And I saw Ben Kingsley and I was like, I love Ben Kingsley. And I was like, he's perfect.
Yeah.
That
he
role.
Is. And he then is they absolutely perfect. Him. For a role that you thought he was going to play until they crying gamed you. And then you were real mad about it. See, that's my point. It got me too. Because I was expecting him to get the rings and it to be a whole thing, right? And so they kept it really quiet. Extremis in the Extremis story arc, Warren Ellis's Extremis story arc in Iron Man is literally one of my favorite comic book story arcs of all time. It's beautifully illustrated. It's extremely well written. And they didn't do as good a job in the movie as they did in the comic, but they did so much with it that was different that it really made it sing for me. The fact that Mandarin pulled that turn and you never saw it coming. The fact that They took the Guy Pearce character, who in the comic was just a scientist, and made him the villain. Fact that they took the Danae was saying earlier, the botanist, who in the comics does turn, but turn in a different way. And then you have the idea that Stark wasn't going to rely on his suit, that he was going to rely on his, you know, it was a throwback to the first Iron Man movie. It played in a lot of ways for me. In ways that I never expected it to, and I think the unexpected for me in these movies is more important than the script, than going by the script. The same reason I didn't like Civil War, because in Civil War, I could tell, you know, it was like I was Deathstroke, and I could tell, and I had 5 second precognition. I could tell you what was going to happen before it happened.
I get you on that, because I'm that way with a lot of movies too. If I can sit there in a movie theater and I can guess the outcome of what the ending's going to be or the twist is going to be, it really, like The Village, Imlam Shimalungalung Dong Dong's movie, The Village, where...
Hey, be careful.
Hey, no.
I love that movie.
I sat there on that...
I do too, Cole. I do too.
Did you say Big Dick Pants?
I go, if this movie is in normal daytime, I'm going to be super pissed off. And sure enough, less than 2 or 3 minutes later, that chick runs into that fence.
You were super pissed off.
And I was like, this movie sucks. I'm freaking out.
I do want to point out something. Some of the brilliance of that period in his filmmaking, and I can't wait for Glass, by the way, is the subtle tells that when you go back, at least for me, not having guessed it, is you go back and watch it again, like, holy crap, there are subtle tells. He is giving it away in a huge way. And in that particular film, and a lot of people are like, wow, you're right, I never noticed that, is when the core group are together by themselves, they drop all of the fake vernacular.
Okay.
They speak in modern vernacular.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that.
It is absolutely brilliant, but only when they are among themselves. Then they go right back to, like, you know, pretend Amish talk, like in an episode of Sledgehammer. And,
yeah.
Cole, we need to start an M and I podcast because I adore him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I got to get started on Switch.
Three movies.
So one of the things that, like, hearing everyone else's top four, and one of the things that really stands out for me is everyone has, like, their own attachment to a character for a specific reason, right? Mm-hmm. And if you had already read the comics or if you had invested 10 years into these movies, it's going to be in different places. And for me, like I said, it's just been, like, the past 2 years. And yet, in Infinity War, I left the theater, my husband left the theater, and we were in tears. Like, for a film to do that, for someone who was not invested in half of the characters, and or I even specifically said, I can't wait to see Tony Stark die in this movie. And when I thought he was dying with the, you know, the shanking and the cheap little, oh, he's not really going to die, I even cried then. So what Marvel has done, even starting the conversations like we're having now, but what they've done is created human beings or even, you know, extraterrestrial characters that each of us can attach to for a different reason. And then you want to fight for them and you believe in them and you stand up for them. And that's honestly what superhero comics do. But man, for a film series to pull that off is a big deal. It's absolutely a really big deal.
I don't think anybody could have said it better than that.
No, that's tough. I just have to point out a couple of things real quick on the whole Mandarin thing. I personally did not really, I was not thrilled that the Mandarin was part of the cinematic universe. It's just one of the saddest characters in the Iron Man pantheon, except for the fact that he's one of the few who doesn't also have his own suit of armor. But I loved not only the switch that just made fanboys pull their eyes out, I loved the fact that it allowed Kingsley to exercise his amazing range.
That's true.
Because when he drops out of the Mandarin and into Trevor, you're like, holy crap, what a chameleon.
He is. That's why I love him. That's why I wanted him to be it so bad, because I love him.
And then I have to point out, you know, you guys were talking about, especially today, you know, you didn't really have any great love for the Marvel films early on, and found that through this process. I'm reminded of our friend Stu Balk, the Midnight Movie Cowboys, who was his first trip to the United States, and a whole bunch of us were going to go see Thor, and the last thing in the world this man wanted to go see was that bloody stupid Chris Hemsworth and his bloody stupid soap opera my wife watches. I bloody hate him. Goes in this theater just vitriolic.
Yeah.
And walks out just as giddy as the rest of us.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he had so much fun. Hi, Stu. I know you're going to listen to this, and we're going to keep you awake at work, but there you have it.
All right. But so here's the thing. People ask me all the time. I'll sit on panels or I'll just be talking to other podcasters, and they go, man, you know what I don't know how to do? I don't know how to end a podcast. So here's how we're going to do that. Guys, where can they find your show?
Twitter. Instagram.
I tell them, you just end your podcast.
Yeah. That's right.
We are on the YouTubes. We're on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters.
Google Play.
iTunes, SoundCloud. We're on all the things. It's funny because one of the podcasts we aim to be like is you. So for us to be on your podcast.
You don't know what you're asking for. Yeah. You really don't.
It's a blast. Thank you so much for inviting us on here.
Well, it has been a treat.
It really has. I can't say enough about this, but thank you so much, guys. I'm very happy. Thank you.
So make sure that you search for Wonder Twin Powers Activate podcast, right? That's what it is.
Show podcast.
Show, yes.
Show podcast, okay, because you guys just ran through all the places they could find you but didn't tell them what to look for.
Exactly.
We are the Wonder Twin Powers Activate show.
It is really a fantastic show. It is so much fun, and you guys have such a great dynamic. It very much reminds me of a certain dynamic that has worked so far for, what, 8 years now.
Yes.
And you guys are amazing, and you're already doing cooler things it took Cole and I like 4 years to figure out how to do. So you guys
exactly.
should be proud
These
of yourselves.
Young kids
everybody
with your
needs to. Yeah, everybody needs to look into it. So with that being said, I bring to order the first podcast's finest. Thank you so much, you two. Thank you so much, Cole. Iron Man 3 is a superior movie. Everybody comes to these. It's like Danae said, everybody comes to these with their own set of emotions and feelings and backstory. And the fact that everybody can take something away from these movies is a testament to what Marvel and Disney have done. So, join us next time. Hopefully there'll be a next time, guys. Is there going to be a next time?
I hope.
Yes.
We definitely need another. We need to convene one of these every now and again. And I'm going to go ahead and make it official here. I'm relaunching Super Geek Out in a whole new format, and you'll have to join us for one or more of those. It's just a very informal, semi-structured, just a bunch of people getting together and geeking out about certain things.
Wait, awesome. I'm down.
All right, so we're going to end this right now. It's our first one. I don't officially know how to end it, so I'm just going to say, everybody say goodnight, folks.
Good night,
everybody. Join us for the next podcast. Finest.
Remember, a bunch of podcasters always end with a dick joke.